I had just finished a wedding. In the back of the church, there was a young mom with two boys. They're about 5 or 7 years old. I don't know what was going on, but as I walked past them, I listened as the mom was scolding the boys and getting them to behave. When I heard the older boy say, "I get it. I get it, Mom. We have to wait until we get home to fight." From the beginning of recorded history, siblings have been at odds with each other. It's one of the things I really love about the book of Genesis is that they are filled with these wonderfully dysfunctional families. They are imperfect families. They do dumb stuff. Their mistakes are many. They're callous. They're indifferent. They're foolish. They're insensitive. They make all of our families look really good, even in the messiest moments. And yet God loves them anyway. Not only does God love them, God uses these messed up families for divine and holy purposes. It tells me that God loves us no matter how messy our families are and is with us in the midst of all the messiness, which brings us to the story of Esau and Jacob. In the biblical story, Rebekah and Isaac have been yearning for a child. Finally, Rebekah is pregnant. The pregnancy is difficult, and so there's this great joy when Esau and Jacob are born. As you read the description of the birth, you can almost imagine little Esau all red and feisty, his little fist all balled up, arms waving and kicking away, screaming at the top of his lungs with that healthy, robust, newborn cry, that reassuring cry that says all is good, everyone oohing and aahing over him. But there's no description of Jacob, really, only that his hand is gripping Esau's heel. Later on, some will describe his name as meaning supplanter, but for the moment, it simply means following the heel. And one commentator says it's almost like a prayer that this less robust baby will experience God's care the same way as he did in the womb. Whatever the parents' worries, both babies thrive. But from the very first breath, they have uniquely different personalities. Esau becomes a skilled hunter. He's a man of the open. He loves the solitude of the hunt, roaming the fields. It's an excuse to get away from the camp, the people, and the noise. He enjoys the vastness of the countryside that just calls to him. He finds joy in bringing home wild game that his father loves and the praise that goes with it. Now, Jacob, he's the quieter one, living in the tents, sticking close to home, most likely shepherding the nearby flocks. Now, he likes the community of the camp. He's at home with the duties and responsibilities of camp life. We learn from the scriptures that Isaac loves Esau and Rebekah loves Jacob. And it is beyond simple favoritism. Rebekah loves Jacob in a way she does not know how to love Esau. And Isaac loves Esau in a way he does not know how to love Jacob. The story of Rebekah and Isaac's a reminder of the pain in families when a parent can't love each of their children. The pain of being a child that's half loved. It's the pain of a world where we can only love us and ours and those who look and act and be like us. Now, we don't know the whole history of this family, but we do get a glimpse of it in the scripture. We know enough to realize that this is a troubled family. Things were not well between the brothers. It's difficult to believe they were well between Isaac and Rebekah either. So if Jacob and Esau are at odds with each other, it may have something to do with the favoritism of Rebekah and Isaac and the inability of either of them to love their sons in such a way that they want the best for both sons. In the ancient world, the oldest child was given the birthright. It's a source of privilege, honor, and wealth. It meant that the oldest child would receive a double share of the inheritance. And for Jacob and Esau, that would mean that Esau would get 2/3 of the inheritance and Jacob would get 1/3. You'd think there might be an allowance for twins, but there wasn't. From our vantage point, when you look at the story, you think that doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair to Jacob either. By the day that Esau came home from hunting, demanding the stew that Jacob was making, it becomes obvious that Jacob has thought a lot about the value of a birthright. He's been hearing about his entire life. To start with, he knows how unfair this system has been to him. Born on the same day as his brother, yet not considered his equal. Mere minutes decreed that his brother receive not only a double share of the inheritance, but would also be the leader of the family. And Jacob knows in his heart it could just as easily have been him. While Jacob recognized the value of the birthright, it's equally clear that Esau has not. Or has he ever thought he could lose it? This is probably not the first time that Esau has come home from the hunt, demanding food from Jacob and expecting Jacob to wait on him. But this time, Jacob bargains with him. And he tells him he will only give him the food if he will sell him his birthright. And I wonder if Jacob was surprised by Esau's answer. Did he ever expect Esau to say yes to the sale of his birthright? Was he shocked that Esau would be so flippant with it, saying he was starving and he'd die if he didn't have it, knowing that there was food in the camp if he just went a little further? By the time Jacob requires Esau swear an oath selling his birthright, Esau should have figured it out, that Jacob was not being frivolous. And the historical evidence shows that birthrights were sold at that time. So whatever Esau is thinking when he does this, according to the book of Genesis, the whole family accepts the transaction has been made. It is the binding force of law. One can imagine what the neighbors are thinking about this family as they asked each other whatever would become of those two sons of Isaac and Rebekah. The scripture writer tells us that Esau despised his birthright. He's not thinking of the future or his value to him. Esau sold his birthright for a single meal. The truth is that many times in our lives, we don't realize the value of the gifts that are ours until they're taken away from us. We assume our bodies will always be healthy. We take for granted the people dear to us will be with us forever, and we act that way. We suppose the good earth that God gave to us, this beautiful planet, will provide for us in the way we're accustomed to, regardless of the way we treat the earth. We put off visits, thinking there'll be another day to visit our family, our siblings, our parents, our children. COVID has taught us about the importance of the common and the ordinary that we took for granted until it wasn't here anymore. Esau had this gift, and he didn't realize its value until it was gone. He did, in fact, despise his birthright, and he treated it with contempt. You and I have a birthright as children of God. God's Spirit was given to us, never to be treated lightly. It's a gift that is ours by grace, not what we have done, but what God has done that makes it possible for us to receive this gift. Through the gift of the Spirit, we are known and know ourselves to be God's children. The Apostle Paul, writing to people in Ephesus, prays that they come to know what it means to be children of God. And he says this, "I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Our birthright is rooted in our relationship with Christ and grounded in that love. God yearns to be in relationship with each of us, to be with us as we journey throughout our lives, whatever we face, wherever life takes us, to guide us through the confusing and difficult passages and remind us throughout that we are loved and we are precious children. Jacob and Esau will have much to learn in the years ahead about the importance of family, personal values, love, forgiveness. The two of them will take very different paths. Yet both of them will look back at this moment in time and wonder why they acted the way they did. One will wonder why he took his birthright so lightly. The other will wonder why he treated his brother so poorly. Their story cautions us to never take lightly the gifts God gives us, never to take lightly the relationships that matter, and never to take lightly our birthright as children of God, but to hold it precious that we might comprehend with all of the saints the breadth and length, height and depth of Christ's great love for each of us. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we give you thanks that you call us as children, that you name us as children. Remind us day by day that we are indeed your precious children, and remind us never to take that gift lightly, but to live our lives in such a way that we honor you in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.